It's time to meet up and catch up at the Weekend Water Cooler. Now, here's your host, Gene Bolduc.
Welcome to the Weekend Water Cooler. I'm Gene Bolduc, your host. Joining me today are Dr. Aaron Keck.
Hello.
The doctors in the house.
Medicine woman.
And the inimitable Blake Hodge, the man, the jack of all trades, master of none. Oh, sorry.
Wait, what degree did you have to get in order to have your title be the inimitable? I want to be the inimitable.
I think that was just a Ron Stutz.
He just put it on the letterhead and figured nobody would check.
Yeah.
Isn't that how it works?
Is that how it works? Okay.
In many fields, I think apparently that's how it works.
That's how I got my job at the White House.
Yeah, exactly. For your brief term there. Yes.
Emergency study session.
Yeah. Oh, I majored in emergency studies.
What would that be like? Can you imagine? So you get the syllabus. They rush into the room.
Yes.
Hand it out.
It's
all on like red paper.
Yeah. There's nothing on it except
we'll figure it out as we go. Right. That's what you're here for heaven's sake.
Triage 104.
Well, we're off to a good start, as usual, exactly on track to basically kick off, I guess, actually a week or two late, but who's counting? The second year, I'm happy to say, of the Weekend Water Cooler. Yay me. Yay WCHL. And this was news, by the way, to Aaron Keck, because he never noticed that I was...
Time has no meaning to
me. He never knew I was
anymore.
Doing a program until the station moved to the University Place so he could see people coming and
That's
going.
That's also true.
Well, instead of being in a closet.
Yeah, right.
Cut off from the world.
Every room in the old place was its own separate fiefdom where you could go
really?
Into one room and you couldn't see what was going on anywhere else.
I do miss the soundproofing stuff on the walls in the old special hour studio
because
I just felt like I was at, in a radio station in 1964.
Yes.
I mean, and you could absolutely hear everything. I mean, a pin drop and it really, I mean, it's
me
nice
walking
in
by
here.
In the hallway screaming for no reason.
That's right.
We still hear that.
Yeah, we did still hear that.
More prominent now, probably.
Yeah, we heard that okay. That was a fun afternoon
on
the air.
That was fun. Oh, that's right.
That was that moment.
You and I, we were on the air together, and all of a sudden.
That was that moment where you look at each other and say, are we going to be on WRAL in 2 hours saying, no, we had no idea that Blake was so troubled.
He was such a quiet person. And it was recording a commercial, too. Did you get that story?
Yeah, I love that likely explanation when we came out.
Yeah.
And let me just say once again, because I've said this to other people, Aaron Keck, when we finished that segment, tossed his headphones off, flung open the door, and marched out there to see what in the world was going on. Hmm. I felt very protected.
I have, in fact, been known to do that.
I would have just marched out into the hall, and then they would have said, how did she get strangled by those headphones? Mm-hmm. And they would say, well, it's because she headed for the door first, and they took the headphones off second.
Yes.
So anyway.
If there's screaming in any WCHL commercials, it's a 99%.
It's almost certainly you.
You're a good screamer.
I get recruited for that role.
Have that. Do you remember that movie? What was that movie? It was like John Travolta's first or second movie.
Carrie?
No. He wasn't in that.
Yes, he was.
You're kidding.
Yeah, he was the
that guy.
He was the evil woman's boyfriend.
Oh, wow.
The two of them, I think that was John Travolta, right? The two of them, like,
Blake is looking this up right now. I know he is.
And she flips the car over.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, let me just admire, first of all, that you remember any detail. I remember, like, only one detail about that movie. The one that you'd expect a teenage girl of the same age to remember.
Billy Nolan, is that the character?
Billy Nolan, yeah.
You might say it was a cyclical recollection that I have about it. But anyway, wow.
That would be the third thing that I remember.
Oh, my goodness. That was a drive-in movie for me. You know, I mean, that's where I saw it. Yeah, you had to go see horror movies at the drive-in in those days.
Of course.
I was commenting to my husband the other day, while we're completely on the right track here, that how much I miss drive-in movies. I mean, I really wish that there remains a drive-in, I guess.
There's a couple here and there.
An outdoor theater, they call it now, up in Henderson, but I don't think I want to drive that far to go see a second-run movie.
They were just talking about opening one in Graham at like the tail end of last year. I don't know really? If that actually okay. how far along in the process that was.
Yeah, I'll look for that. I'll go to the public hearing to approve that because
go to the American Legion Task Force Committee meeting.
Oh yeah, you know, wouldn't that be great?
Big old giant drive-in.
Wouldn't that be great? And
wouldn't
then you could use it for other
would
things.
Would not affect traffic at all. But gosh, at least we won't be building any more housing. And Lord knows we
yeah,
don't want that.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Use this big open space for cars to drive in there for 2 hours on Friday night and for no other use.
You would find support for that among
actually,
some people.
The drive-in theater in Durham, the Starlight Theater that was there for many, many years until a string of calamities that were almost comical. We used to go there quite often, and it was quite nice. It was a nice little throwback experience. You know, they had a little playground in front where you'd probably never let young children play, but it was nice to see swings and whatever. And apparently during the week they use the site for flea markets and stuff. So, you know, you could do something like that at the risk of actually taking your suggestion seriously. You could do something like that and use the site during the week for a farmer's market or something like that where you'd need for people to be able to come in or food trucks or stuff like that. Imagine Chapel Hill allowing food trucks. Oh, no.
They allow food trucks now. They got the rodeo on Rosemary every so
twice
often.
A year.
We're moving in that direction.
That's right. Yeah.
And a farmer's market, that would be – do we have farmer's markets in Orange County yet? I'm not sure.
Yeah, and of
I think
course,
we've got like five
this traffic
or six.
Report is brought to you by the
Chapel Hill Farmers Market going on right now.
Which is going on right now wherever you're driving in Chapel Hill. Yeah, well, okay, so that wasn't, you know, it's just an impromptu suggestion of things that you could
it's
do.
It's actually been suggested, though. That's a legitimate suggestion that's been part of
how about park and ride?
Conversation.
We don't need another park and ride site. No,
we always Blake need is, more.
Yeah,
park
we
and
always
ride
need
sites.
Them. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Well, farmers markets—they just put the what was her name, Marin Lissy, the 12-year-old girl who started the farmers market.
We went to it,
for,
and on
Cedar Falls
on Weaver Dairy. Yep. Yeah, we went to it. It was, you know, it's a humble start, but it was a start.
It was cool. Yeah.
You know, it's hard to get people to come out to the thing the first time it's happening, but. But, you know, hey, there were people, there were vegetables. It's a farmer's market. So when you put people and vegetables together, this is the beautiful thing that happens.
Yes.
A farmer's market.
I'm refraining from making any joke at all, but just let you know that I've got 10 in my head.
Let it go.
Okay. Yeah, he is letting it go.
We're going to get fined.
That was good. And you don't want to be fined. You don't because you know you're going to have to pay in tomatoes. It's going to be and not the good tomatoes, not the rotten tomatoes like you can rate a movie with.
Yeah.
You know, some other, you know, like cherry tomatoes or something that
heirloom
you don't want those anyway. Yeah. By the way, I have two tomato plants on my deck. I'm trying this year. Container gardening. It's a complete joke. I mean, the thing grows up way over the cage. And then it breaks off and falls over. What are you supposed to do with that?
Buy a bigger cage. Yeah.
Well, that's a good solution.
Right. That's why
I just like to point out that we got sidetracked
or maybe
faster
go to the grocery
and farther
store
on this episode than any show.
You know what I ought to do? You know what the better fix is? Go to a farmer's market.
Go to a farmer's market.
That's what
they've got tomatoes there. You can buy them. No muss, no fuss.
The biggest cages you've ever seen.
Giant cages. It's a cage match.
And they're homemade, homegrown.
As far as you know. That's right. Yeah, we're not screeching down the road here. Okay, so we love your commentary. We want you to comment with the hashtag WCHL. I do want to mention also, however, that there's some form of a hockey league that is also WCHL. You're aware of this, I'm sure.
There's also a Twitter account, or there was a Twitter account, that would just randomly post entire speeches of Winston Churchill one sentence at a time that was also WCHL for Winston Churchill. So if you look up WCHL, you'll get our station.
Fascinating
you'll get
content.
A hockey league, and you'll get Winston Churchill.
And you'll get something.
Hockey league?
You'll
is
get
that
some,
what it was?
There
was
the also,
there was also the Western
league?
Collegiate Hockey League as
oh.
well.
Yeah.
So there,
yeah.
there was the minor league, and then there was the college league.
Well, yeah, of course there'd be the minor leagues and the college, you know. Yeah. So you know, when we come back, we're going to talk about the ACC just for
sounds
fun
good.
Because you know we're on the eve of kickoff time. When is the do you know when the first game
September
is?
September 2nd.
That's the first actual game. This is
for
like
Carolina,
on the record.
Yep.
And does Carolina have? I'm stupid to ask this. I know, but are there like preseason games in college football?
No.
there aren't games, but they have scrimmages and
stuff that fans
can go to, and they have a media day, of course.
They had the blue-white game at the
that happened in April.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's really preseason.
That right?
April? That can't be right.
I think I messed that up.
I think you messed that
it's
up.
It's in the spring.
That might be
it
an editing
game,
fix
right
there.
Yeah,
I think that's
the spring game.
That's, yeah, April is in the spring. So on that note, with Clay Koch and Aaron Keck, you're for reasons no one really understands listening to 97.9 The Hill, and we'll be back in just a moment. Okay, we're back. We're back from an entirely too brief break, I think, talking to, what's your name again? Oh, yeah, Blake Hodge and Aaron Keck, who's got his hand on his head in the most peculiar positioning I ever saw. I never saw a runway model do that, but it's probably coming in the fall.
Back. Well, I wasn't actually going for a runway
line.
Model
this
there.
Is,
I was just
this
going
is
for...
how you take your left arm and scratch your right ear and then your right eyebrow and then say to your doctor, it hurts when my shoulder whenever I do this.
Oh, I don't say that to my doctor.
You don't say that to your doctor.
Because it doesn't.
Because
I keep myself limber by doing this
right,
weird hand motion
by,
thing.
By doing this, yeah. Right. This is why this should really be on Facebook and in a Facebook streaming. This is coming in the next year. We're going
to
do that.
We're going to change the name of the show to Weekend Ice Pack just to explain.
I like it.
Yeah.
You know, to explain your kind of weekend warrior injuries.
From the week.
Recovering from the week. And, man, we
like
need
talking,
it.
Like going we on Saturday it. And Sunday and talking about the news from the week. It kind
man,
of is like a recovery.
It really
process.
Ought to be. And, you know, brought to you by the Weekend Ice Pack. And, you know, and here's what to do. Here's what the Rice method really is for your twisted knee that you did in that soccer match or softball game from work. Did you guys ever play softball as part of a team for CHL?
No, we never had a softball team. I played baseball up through middle school, and then I got very unceremoniously cut from a team right before I went to high school, and then I got into a whole bunch of academic stuff and never picked up baseball again. But.
I see. I thought he was going to say he needed that Tommy John surgery and just said, forget it, I'm just not doing it.
Yeah, if I
it's
had
not
the Tommy John
it.
Surgery, I wouldn't be able to
you
do
You wouldn't
this.
Be able to do yeah. this. Well, you know, that plays so great on the
on
radio,
the radio
too.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone could just get their own idea in their head of
yeah. And whatever your idea is, it's probably right.
Yeah.
I played on a work softball team for my husband's job with Blue Cross when he worked there. And
well, that's great if you get injured, you got really good
Well, that's right. Yeah. You certainly have coverage. So I was pitching, if you think you can believe this. In fact, we were playing at Cedar Falls Park, and I was pitching, and somebody hit a line drive. Right at the pitcher.
Right at yeah.
And I took it. Everybody can understand this. I took that ball directly on my shin. Okay?
Oh, you were rubbing about,
your eyebrow.
Yeah, you
were
rubbing my eyebrow. And you guys are going, oh,
you
God,
shin.
You mean that's a fake
shin.
Eye?
Yeah,
no, it's
fine.
Just my
yeah.
shin. Yeah. So, okay, pretty good line drive. And everybody just gasped and, you know, raced up to me, right? Including the, I think it was the catcher.
Okay.
And... of course, I immediately had...
Did the first baseman run at you? Because that ball's still in play,
because that ball was still in play.
Yeah.
I think the runner actually was safe. I don't think I made the play at first. But somebody comes running up to me, and I immediately had a beautiful welt on my shin about the size of, a baseball. It was a softball that hit me, but the point of impact was about the size of a baseball. This came up... red, angry looking, swelling immediately. I'm talking in 20 seconds. And some fool comes walking up to me and says, oh man, is that where it hit you? It looks like it really hurts, and pokes her finger right into it. That's when
really
I made
hurts.
That sound not heard in nature.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, for me, for team sports, not so much.
Yeah.
Me, I like golf. I'm a pretty good golfer, but for team sports, not so much. But I am a big ACC football fan.
Yes.
And, of course, I pull for my team in blue down the street. I'd pull for any world-class university team that happened to be located down the street. That would be Carolina.
Okay, I was
Aaron's
say,
making a face.
Like,
what are you talking about?
Well, there's world-class universities in blue down the street.
Depends
so I'm just
street.
We just
no. There's only
sure
one in
were...
this county, honey bunny.
Okay,
how
come
far
on.
Down what street?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
being a little coy there, and
so,
very.
No, I don't. I don't mean to. I don't flirt with the devils. No. I don't do that.
Why are
so,
we on this show?
Yeah,
though?
I don't know. You're extraneous. Let's face it. So. I want to know who you're picking to win the ACC, just regular season. Who do you think is going to win the ACC this year?
Regular season?
Take your time.
Probably Florida State.
Yeah, I was going to say, you pick one and I'll pick the other,
okay,
between Clemson and Florida State. So I'll say Clemson.
You'll say
then.
Clemson.
Yeah,
I'll say
sure.
Florida
You think
State.
Clemson's yeah. likely to be just as strong this year as last? I mean, they've been for 2-3 years.
Yeah.
You know, right up there.
Whenever you got the number one mall leasing agent in Alabama leading your program in Dabo Swinney, he was.
Is that
that's
right?
A fact.
Is that right?
You know, he's just that salesman.
How did he ever step away from that?
I don't know.
No idea.
It sounds like a good
man.
Gig. But,
just fill up the market in Birmingham, and then you're pretty much done.
And that's it, right? Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, just step away. Step yep. away from the career.
So I
guess he
guy.
Made the right choice,
yeah.
I guess.
It's interesting because Clemson and Florida State are, two of the top five teams in the country this year, right? They're both ranked that high. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know, we know how much stock you can put in preseason polls.
Polls,
but Florida State certainly this year seems like they are better positioned, whereas Clemson over the, you know, last year with Deshaun Watson and all
they
that.
Lost Watson, but yeah.
And their top receiver as well. And Bowler, who's now with the Panthers.
Right.
So they lost a few pieces, but they have been, with the way they've been recruiting the last few years.
Louisville will be good, too, because they've got a Heisman candidate.
He won last year, Lamar Jackson. And Carolina will play them, I believe, in
early.
Week two or three.
Why do you play in college for another year after you've won the Heisman?
He has to.
He has to?
He was
Is that
a sophomore.
Right? Oh,
I
see.
He's not eligible
yet.
Thanks, NCAA.
This is in basketball where you can play 1 year and then go
also,
away. In football, they actually pretend like they care about academics for
a
couple extra. Well, some people, they make you stay for 2 more years.
Yeah,
they handcuff you for two more years.
Yes.
Great.
Right.
Good system.
Yeah.
Everybody wins. So
how do we end up with this silly system where we're just pretending that these people are students and not
I think that's
semi-pro
what it is.
Athletes.
Like we feel like we have to go through the motions of pretending. This is why, you get like really obviously forced apologies from public figures who say something ridiculous and that they have to come forward
which
and
they completely believe and then they have to come forward and say I'm sorry if you were offended
as if to say oh no I believe in all of these values too. It's like no you are in fact actually a jerk, just own up to it.
And you're enough of a jerk that you won't even stand up for a thing that you believe in when it's unpopular because it might hurt you 10 cents. You know, this is a thing in our culture, just to go completely off the rails for just a second.
Just for one second. We've been so good about being on track.
Is this mindset that says, if I say I'm sorry, it's okay.
Yes.
It's not unlike the idea, I'm sorry, men, I know you are good men. But there are men who think they can just do anything, absolutely anything. There's one living in the D.C. area right now. They can do anything at all to or say anything about women. And as long as they say, well, you know, I'm sorry. You know, here are flowers. Here's, you know, let me buy you
or
a bigger ring.
Joking,
or, yeah, I was just
or,
kidding.
Right.
It was locker room talk.
Yeah.
Or in a broader context, though, with all due respect, I love when people say that because they're about to insult the hell out of somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
With all due respect is immediately followed by an insult. I'm not a racist, but is always followed by something racist.
You know, my husband was pointing out to me somebody had written an article that said in all of public discourse, you should listen to everything that comes right after the word but.
Yes.
It's one of the most powerful words and unappreciated in the English language because the truth is coming right after that.
Yeah.
And everything that's before that is basically saying, I don't mean anything I'm about to say.
Yes.
But.
Yeah. And the sad thing is that's not exactly correct. The truth doesn't usually come after the but. The true person comes after the but. Like oftentimes when someone says like, I have no problem whatsoever with women,
but
what's about to come
every
is
woman I've ever worked for has
true,
the following problems.
But this is the true person coming.
Yeah.
This is who you really are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is getting depressing.
Yeah.
You know, and he's drawing pictures, and I'm not sure what they are.
He's taking notes on what these our original topic was going to be.
These are elaborate notes that have come to look like a psychology profile.
Yeah. This is actually what I do during every interview that I'm usually conducting.
That is actually true,
Like, if you walk around, this is on almost every piece of paper.
Many, many triangles.
It helps me actually. It's odd
it helps
because I'm
you
doing
focus,
something else,
right.
but it helps me stay engaged with the
I
conversation.
See.
Usually, though, it's a phone interview, and they have no idea that
And they
Googling.
Don't know. But see, now, thanks to my big mouth. Okay, well.
Oh, by the way, if Blake Hodge ever interviews you over the phone, he is doodling the entire time.
The entire time.
But it's to stay engaged.
I will tell you, though, as a reporter, in the vast majority of interviews that I did as a reporter, I did by my preference over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that for a very similar reason, but because people get, I think, very self-conscious when they see that you're writing notes. That you wrote this down but didn't write that down, or if you put a star next to something to make sure that you have your own attention on it, and it affects the interview in a way that you don't want. But the other thing is that I found that people are just more forthcoming if there are sensitive topics, that they're a little bit more willing to explore sensitive areas if they're not trying to read your reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're in the room with them.
If they can just talk without, like, looking someone in the eye.
That's why I always like to – well, I liked phone interviews, especially early on in this type of job, because I was 23, 24. And no matter how good of a question I asked, it was coming from a 23 or 24-year-old.
Right.
But also, on this type of setup, you can leave just enough of a pause to maybe get them to start talking again, which I always think is going to be interesting whenever they come to a – finish of a sentence, but then leave just a little extra breathing room where they might feel the need to jump back in.
And even if they're not comfortable with it, you can tell them that you can take a break and then we can talk about it, and then you can convince them of how it's okay to talk about it, if that's the case.
Yes.
And then you can edit that out so it doesn't sound awkward on the air.
There you go.
So that's some great stuff about this line of work that doesn't really work in live TV or live radio per se. So now that we've let you all in on the great secrets of journalism, interviewing, and our insights about all of these things, we're going to come back and talk about sillier things. Well, not that much sillier. Yeah, somewhat sillier.
A little bit
sillier. 10% sillier. You know, we're trying to cut down on.
We're not going to be silly in the next segment, but we're going to be pretty silly in the next segment.
That's true. That's almost guaranteed, right? It's
there you
like,
go.
You know, there's always going to be so much fat in ice cream. Come on. It's ice cream. Are you kidding me? Would you buy low-fat ice cream? And if so, why?
Eating tofu ice cream takes me back to elementary school field days, so there's a nostalgia value there. Not that I would actually buy it,
but throw it at you?
I mean, me personally, yes, but everyone else got to eat it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everyone else got to eat it. This is a special language for had to eat it. Tofu ice cream. Wow, what a thought, Aaron Keck.
Tofutti, I think it was called.
Toady fruity? No,
fruity.
Just kind of tootie-tootie.
I mean, honestly, any variation on tofu ice cream you're going to come up with is not going to sound appealing.
It's just not going to sound good. You know, but you know what does sound good? It sounds good to take a break. we're going to come back with more with Blake and Aaron here on 97.9 The Hill. Don't go away, I promise, or threaten. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back here from the American Institute of Halitosis. Start again. No, this is great. Blake is making weird noises.
Aaron, really trying to get that out before we got back.
Aaron, I see nobody even noticed that. Yeah, somebody ate his lunch during our interview here.
Somebody scheduled the interview for lunchtime.
No. So what are you going to do? Guy's got to eat.
Limited time here.
That's right. Okay. Yes, from the American Institute of Halitosis and Gas, apparently, the Petroleum Institute. That's who Blake represents. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. So we're back. It's Silly Saturday here at the Weekend Water Cooler. So who's going to win the PGA held here in North Carolina for the first time? Maybe not. They might have had it at Pinehurst. once or twice in the history of
the U.S. Open.
I don't know if the PGA has been there. I don't think it has, but it's at Quail Hollow this year. Wonderful golf course.
Well, it's not going to be me.
It's not going to be anybody in the room.
Nope.
And although, you know, we probably would have, but elected not to play.
Oh, yeah.
Another guy who's not going to win is Tiger Woods, and he's also following our lead. Not going to play. And Tiger, we're recording here on Thursday. Yesterday, Wednesday, he pleaded out his arrest and charges against him for DWI. He pleaded not guilty, and he will go to a diversion program, received a prayer for judgment. So if he completes the program and is not rearrested this year, then those charges will be dropped.
Right.
Which, at least in my opinion, is the right outcome for what happened. And if you don't follow these things that closely, and who would blame you if you didn't? Tiger Woods, earlier this year, I'm going to say April or May, I think it was in May, was discovered on the side of the road in Jupiter, Florida, where some fascinating incidents seem to occur in automobiles. And he was... It was late at night, if not to say early in the morning. He was in his running automobile on the side of the road with the car stopped, and he was asleep at the steering wheel.
Right.
And he was belted in. I think that the car was in park, but I'm not sure about that.
Well, it wasn't moving.
It wasn't. Right? It wasn't moving. The car was stopped, and I watched the entire video.
Florida is not a hilly area.
I think
if it wasn't in park, it would have been rolling slowly.
Well, here's the interesting part about the whole thing. The driver's side of the car had some significant damage. Two of the tires were flat.
Mm-hmm.
When he got out of the car, I watched the dashboard video. He was standing up and he was talking. But if you've ever had a family member, and I have, who is in a post-operative state after twilight sleep,
right.
And their eyes are open and their lips are moving and they're talking, but they're not really conscious. I had this happen with a family member who basically, as far as he was concerned after the procedure, woke up in the car. He didn't remember anything about being in the hospital or walking out and getting in the car and whatever. And, he would ask the same questions again and again and so forth. And this is apparently a perfectly common thing that happens with twilight sleep with some people.
Yeah.
And Woods' responses during the sobriety test on the roadside were exactly like that. He was clearly not completely comprehending, was not it wasn't just that he couldn't completely wake up. It was that there was something much more substantial at play there.
Mm-hmm.
They found no alcohol in his system. He hadn't been out partying. He had mismanaged taking pain medications for his back, apparently. And this I bring this up partly because, of the PGA being in North Carolina, which is great. But it's a very sad thing to see what's happened with his career in the last several years and his going from injury to injury. And I'm sure, by the way, that these injuries are quite real, but it's a shame to see that. And as I looked at that incident, the first thing that I thought of was that I'm really glad that he didn't kill anybody,
mm-hmm.
including himself, which could easily, I think, have happened. I think that the reason his car was stopped is I think the car stopped itself. I think that Mercedes, has some of these safety measures that will help you avoid accidents and so forth.
Yeah.
And with no interaction from the driver, I think the car probably stopped itself.
Yeah. And there's a whole bunch of different sort of angles that you could go with on this. And the fact that he is getting help. I mean, he's gotten help before.
Right.
He's getting more help and needs it is a good thing. The fact that that's the avenue that we're going down in terms of the justice system rather than rather than
lock them up and throw away
punishment,
the
punishment, incarceration.
Like the president endorsed
Jeff
this week.
Jeff Sessions approach. Well, Trump goes back and forth, right? To say that the president
endorses something is never
a good idea.
So since it's probably really a Justice Department thing,
right,
it's probably correct to say that the administration's position is that the approach to this, well, in fact, in the president's words, but I think it's an accurate reflection, that the administration's approach to this is one of two-pronged. It's law enforcement and prevention. And his description, his lame description this week was, so, you know, his version of prevention is like Nancy Reagan's just say no, but without the brains and the charm.
And I mean, there's nothing wrong with just say no as an approach. It's that in this case, we're talking about opioid addiction, which begins with
your doctor's prescription,
prescribing pain medicine.
That's
right. In so many cases,
it's just a no question. Yeah, it's ignoring the core of its cause, and it's mimicking what was done with the crack epidemic, 25 years ago and more.
Yeah,
which was illegal drugs that were mainly affecting black and brown communities, and was very easy to throw that fence around
Even in the case of the crack epidemic or any previous sort of drug epidemic that has happened in the past, you can use just say no as part of a multi-pronged approach, but just say no alone isn't going to solve the problem.
Right.
Just say no is one element of a larger, more comprehensive solution.
Right, right.
And in this case, just say no is not going to do it in this case either, even more so because just say no is combined with your doctor telling
your
you
doctor
to
says
take
you need to take these. Yeah. Yeah, you just had a hip replacement. You need to take these, and you can't say, "Oh, but doc, I feel strongly about this."
I mean, you absolutely can, but this is the doctor in a white coat reality about it, sort of psychology. Like automatically ascribe a sense of authority to the person who is in a position of authority, who has the title, the inimitable, for instance.
The inimitable, yes. Dr. Strangelove.
You're more likely to trust, accept, do whatever the person in the white coat tells you to do because they're in a position of authority, and why would you question it?
Well, and there's another factor too, which is pain management is a very important field. And if you've had a major joint replacement surgery, the idea that you can just hold your hand up and say, no, I'll tough it out, ignores the risk that there is to you and your body and your cortisol levels and the stress response of having pain that's at a 7 or 8 or 9 giving you a heart attack.
Yep.
When you're in your 50s and 60s and 70s having these procedures done, you need to keep that pain under control so that your body doesn't just, become overtaken by the stress of post-surgical pain, which is what these things are meant for. And these drugs are just wildly overprescribed, and everybody knows it, including most doctors, by the way.
Yeah.
To me, it's just what we heard from the administration this week is just a reflection of a clueless insensitivity to the fact that, first of all, the problem is here and right in front of you. Mm-hmm. So saying, well, this just shouldn't have happened, is just clueless.
Yeah.
Even Blake is drawing more complex drawings as a result.
This is an interesting thing because we've got a conflict here as well of even within, we talk so much about a political divide, and this isn't a political divide. You've got a Republican supermajority in Raleigh that just passed the STOP Act as well, which is going to limit the amount of opioids that doctors can prescribe. And, Attorney General Josh Stein and Roy Cooper have been a part of this, and you've got a direct conflict there as well between them and the law and order aspect of this. Of the kind of the go-to line has been, we can't arrest our way out of this situation. It's a very clear shift, even with the previous administration of Governor Pat McCrory, toward a public health issue rather than a law enforcement issue on this topic in particular. And I think one of the really interesting lines that McCrory said during his first not his term that came to an end in 2016. Earlier in the year in 2016, he said these don't discriminate.
Right.
I'm talking about opioids because you know, to me that also was an odd line because based on policies, it was like he was changing policies because of that, but we haven't enacted that type of mindset or policy whenever we've been dealing with other types of drugs that don't haven't in a majority of their sense been affecting middle-class white
right.
families.
Do you think that's the power of pharmaceutical lobbying? It could be. I mean, it could. It's probably at play on some level that they don't want to.
Yeah, I mean, there's enough dollars being involved in this that it would be naive to ignore it.
Yeah,
for sure.
Right, right.
That might also be the charitable interpretation as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well,
the
so
difference is all about pharmaceutical lobbying right. and not about something a little bit more.
Even more sinister.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we'll come back with a more sinister idea. Nah, we probably won't. We'll be back with more with the inimitable Aaron Keck and the probably average Blake Hodge.
I got the title.
He's moving up. Yeah. He's just jumped right over you on the whole ladder to success.
I was moving up.
No, you're probably moving up.
Yeah, probably so. Anyway, again, for reasons we don't understand, you're listening to The Weekend Water Cooler on 97.9 The Hill. We'll be right back. We're back from the break talking to Aaron Keck and Blake Hodge, and nobody's inimitable anymore. I've erased that status. So.
Okay.
So let me close with this. You know, we've been talking on Aaron's program, and you've both been slinging these trick questions at me, the Kids Q questions, and I just want to clarify that what I'm about to ask is more a tribute to Kids Q. It's not associated with that program. These questions that I ask you have not been screened by anyone
yes.
with any sense whatsoever. So here's my question for you.
Okay.
If you could travel in time without disrupting the course of history, that's tricky. When would you travel to and why?
Take
all the time you need. We have 4 minutes.
Is it just for like a quick trip to take a look, or is it?
If you're not going to disrupt the course of history, I think that means you're not going to travel back to, let's say, last November. And make a tour of Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Michigan.
Yes.
You're not going to go back and kill baby Hitler and things like that and rescue, you know, the course of history from itself. So, but, you know, maybe you'd like to go back and watch Babe Ruth play baseball, or maybe you'd like to see the Statue of Liberty put up in the harbor in New York or something like that. So, and of course, in the future, who knows what that might be?
Yeah.
I would like to be, I think it's weird because I would like to be generally in this area, like pre-Europeans coming over and just being like in.
Just to see what
like
that was
idyllic
like.
Native American territory lifestyle at that point.
Interesting.
I've always been fascinated by that.
I've got two in my head. My first thought was go back to like the late 1960s just to experience what that was like.
Yeah.
I've heard so much.
My second one is just like in the 70s for no reason.
Yeah. But really probably what I would end up doing is going back to the late 18th century, like the American founding era, not to meet the founders, but just to get a better sense of how people lived and how people saw the world. Because I think we're still like people who we're so obsessed with the founding generation and the founding fathers and everyone. And what would they have thought if we picked them up and put them here today? But I think we're still kind of grasping at straws when it comes to like really understanding how
what
they
their life
at the
was
world
like every
and
day.
What their life was like.
Yeah.
So I would like to see that for myself.
Yeah. I'd like to sit down and see what dinner was like and whether or not
like
you'd even feel safe eating half
day.
Of it. Probably
like
not.
Like, what did they do when they left Independence Hall at the end of the day and they went to the tavern? And afterwards, which I assume they did.
Yeah, I would think so.
What did they talk about? What did they drink? What was the room like? Was it hot? How hot was it? Did they have windows open? Were other people listening to their conversations?
Like, right.
I want to be one of the other people listening to their conversations and then hear what they had to say.
And they were like, you know, can you believe Franklin? I mean, you invented the stove. Great. Shut up about it already. You know,
you can see close and far away.
Yeah,
that's
big
great.
Deal. Nice. Yeah, and you know, Jefferson with his gadget. You ever see that gadget that he did where you could make a copy of what you're writing?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever see that?
I don't think so.
So it's a thing. This really translates great for radio. That you're writing with a pen, and then there's a little gadget that has an arm that's attached to another arm and has a second pen
oh,
and another
yes,
piece
I have
of
heard
paper
about that. Yeah, yeah,
that,
yeah.
That follows along
it.
With you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for making copies of, you know, whatever he was making copies of, he never wrote anything of interest.
No, of course
that,
not.
That we know of.
Yeah. Making copies.
Making
copies.
I'm glad you said that because I was thinking it and...
Oh, God. It's like one episode of The Office after another, mm-hmm. right? Where's that? What's that
Saturday
reference?
Saturday Night Live. It's Rob Schneider.
Oh, my God.
Copymeister, making copies.
Don't you miss him? Don't you miss him, Rob Schneider?
Rob Schneider, no.
He had like three characters, right? And I don't know who the other two were.
Yeah, right.
yeah. But everything was the something meister. Yeah. And he was the copymeister.
I just read a big, long book on Saturday Night Live, and I was kind of thinking about it as we were talking about Tiger Woods earlier.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I think we talk about managing pain,
wow.
but it's also... about managing fame, especially
yes.
like the sort of instant, incredibly
overwhelming,
bright spotlight,
right.
overwhelming. Like that's
right.
definitely something that people who haven't experienced it do not understand.
Yeah.
What it's like.
No, I think that not enough credit is given to people who do that proper, mm-hmm. do that well, who have good
well.
People around them
who can handle it.
And can handle it. But we tend to pay attention to those who don't, of course. And it's stunning to me, the opioid thing, how it's affecting ordinary
mm-hmm.
Some people like us, people who are not famous at all, who just got into a situation and are now really struggling. So for them, we wish you all well, and you should listen to the Weekend Water Cooler for our advice, worth every nickel you paid for it. Every single time.
Absolutely.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank
so
you.
Happy to
Thank
have you.
You.
Let's do this more often.
Right.
It's so much fun. And now we have art as well because Blake has created, you know, this beautiful thing.
It's something.
He could have been a spider if he wanted to. He could be Spider-Man. Have you ever asked him if he's Spider-Man? You don't know.
Are you Spider-Man? He would say no even if he was.
Even he would. He would deny it even if he was. Well, Peter Parker, I bet that's your original name.
It's still my name. I just not the name
it's
I tell
It's still your
you.
Name. It's just he's lying about his name now, so that's a bad thing. Don't lie about your name, folks. Thanks for joining us on the Water Cooler. We'll see you all next week.
Follow Gene on Twitter at Gene Bolduc and tweet your comments and questions with the hashtag WCHL.